Frank. Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to Feel Good Friday, FGF, episode 85. That's right, we're at the big 85, if you will. I'm going to hit you with some truth right now. I'm going to hit you with some honesty, some honest tea, if you will. You know, people say spill the tea when they're talking about gossip today. This isn't gossip. This is just an opinion that I have. I don't know if I want to make it to 85. You know, like, I feel like if I hit 85, I'm not going to be in the best of conditions, and I'm going to make life real hard for everyone that has to take care of me. Not on purpose. Like, I'm going to try not to be a dick the older I get. Like, I'm going to, you know, channel, you know, patience and understanding and generosity and all that shit. But I just feel like my body isn't just gonna, it's not gonna be in tip top shape. I'm 30 and it's not in tip top shape. I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen at 85. So I feel like I could hit 80 and then I'm gonna clock out. I made a great, great son who's handsome as shit, and he's gonna go out and he's gonna do great things. I've seen the ocean. I've lost my virginity, obviously, because I made a son. So you kind of have, I mean, you don't have to do that. You could freeze and you could jerk off into a cup and be like, you could use this and create a human. I didn't do that. I didn't go that route. I did the more natural route. Anyway, 85, I'm not sure if I want to make it there for my age, but for episodes, yeah, absolutely. I'm here and I'm happy about it. So 85, we're here. It's just me today. No Gaston either. He's not going to be on. Nobody got Gaston. Except for me. Theo farted on me earlier. That's cool. Waking up in the morning, Theo's asshole right by my face. What does she do? Does that nice morning stretch. Everyone loves the morning stretch. It's so cute when dogs do it. But I'll tell you what, when Theo does it, that's usually when she lets him rip. And she let him rip, and I was looking right down the barrel of that gun. And scary stuff. So hopefully I don't have pink eye because of my dumb dog. Fingers crossed. We'll see. Anyway, just me today. Just Joe. It's just Joe. You're handsome. Hung like a moose host. That is, of course, if moose had really small dicks. Should be noted that I pluralized moose correctly there. I didn't say mooses like some people might. Moosai, even if you want to try to get really fancy, but also be wrong. It's weird. It got me thinking. You pluralize goose, you call them geese. But, you know, moose is just, it's just moose. It's not meese. Wild stuff, huh? All right, I'm going to keep going. Anyway, just me. So you got to deal with that. I don't know why I'm saying deal with it. Like it's a bad thing. I'm pretty great. Everyone knows it. You know it. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening to me ramble about the plural version of moose and how small my dick is. Anyway, episode 85, the Halloween hangover episode. This is going to be what would have been my Halloween special. I recorded the episode with Michaela. That sufficed. She was amazing. She was great. But I didn't call it my Halloween special. It was just a spooky, spooky special. Scary stories to tell in the dark. She had a lot of great stories. That was a fun episode. Fun episode, but I'm here. This is the Halloween hangover episode. So this is post-Halloween. However, there were some Halloween things that I wanted to talk about that I didn't get a chance to talk about with Michaela, that I didn't get a chance to talk about in my first October episode, in which I went into a lot of spooky things. So here's what's coming up first. Top 10 Halloween candies ranked. This is according to Barstool. All right. Number one, Snickers. Disagree. Right off the bat, disagree. Top 10 Halloween candies, Snickers is number one? Yikes. All right. Number two, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. That should be number one. I'm glad it's number two, and it's not that low on the list. That should be number one, though. Come on, people. Let's get it right, okay? Three is Kit Kat. I'm cool with Kit Kat at three. I think it should be Reese's number one. And personally, I think it should be Twix at number two. Kit Kat at three. I'm going to go Snickers at four, Milky Way at five. Anyway, that's my list. I'll tell you how much I agree or disagree with this list. Because this list was an actual survey. This was people that voted. So some of it is kind of surprising to me. So Snickers is number one, Reese's is number two, Kit Kat's number three, Swedish Fish is number four, huh? Swedish Fish. In the top five, yet alone the top four? Fucking what? And Swedish Fish, they're solid, don't get me wrong. But like, if I got Swedish Fish at a house on Halloween, I'd be not disappointed, but a little like, all right, I guess I'll take it. Then I'll walk away and be like, I'd talk to my buddies or whoever, and I'd be like, Swedish Fish, huh? They'd probably be like, I don't know, a little strange. Again, no knock against the Swedish Fish, the fish from Sweden. They're great. I just didn't expect to see them at number four on this list. I don't even know if they cracked my top 10, people. I'll be honest. Let alone my top four. Number five is Almond Joy. Big fuck that. Big fuck that to Almond Joy. Don't know how they're in the top five, but they are. They made it. I think they paid somebody. I think the people at Almond Joy slipped a little check under the table, or they had a big briefcase full of money, and they're like, put us in the top five. And someone at Barstool was like, all right, cool. So four and five, Swedish Fish and Almond Joy, neither of those are in my top 10. I'll tell you that, neither of those. Halloween candy, for sure, they are not in my top 10. Number six is Starburst. I like it. I love Starburst. I really do. So I'm okay with this placement. I'm okay with them being in the top 10. Maybe they would have been a little lower. I don't know. When I think of Halloween candy, I think chocolate. Chocolate is what comes to mind first. So as much as I love Starburst, I don't know if, you know, they're in my top 10. I just don't know if they're six. So sorry I got confusing earlier and started saying my list. I'll say my list at the end and just go through this one. Number seven is Twix. Twix is on the list. That's good that there's at least a slight sense of normalcy going on in this list. They kind of redeemed themselves right there. That was a rough three in a row with Swedish Fish and Almond Joy and Starburst at six. Eight is candy corn. I feel like that's a cop-out. Candy corn, traditional Halloween candy. I don't hate it as much as a lot of people do. A lot of people hate on that candy. Say it tastes like absolute garbage. Just too waxy, or just it's just a shitty taste. I don't mind candy corn. I don't. I guess you got to put it on the Halloween candy. If I get candy corn while I'm trick-or-treating, it's a little confusing. I go, huh? I didn't even know they sold this in fun-sized bags, but whatever. Nine is a Hershey bar. Hershey bar, it's good. It's good little straight-up chocolate, you know? It's old reliable. You can't go wrong with it. And then 10 is M&M's. M&M's being at 10, little controversial right there. I feel like that could leapfrog some of these other ones. So that's their top 10. Snickers, Reese's, Kit Kat, Swedish Fish, Almond Joy, fucking gross. Starburst, Twix, candy corn, Hershey bar, and M&M's. That's their top 10. Let me go through my top 10. We'll see which ones you guys like better. You let me know, okay? You let me know which list is better. And if it's not mine, you can still tell me, but I'm going to be very upset with you, all right? I'm going to sick the hounds on you. Just kidding. Dogs are harmless here. Number one is Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, hands down. It's got the colors of fall and Halloween on it. It's peanut butter and chocolate, and you put it together. And Michaela was saying it's not real peanut butter, but, you know, she's, you know, whatever. Fine, it's a fair point. Taco Bell isn't real meat, but it's still fucking delicious. So we're just going to go with that. We're going to go with that argument. We're going to do the Taco Bell argument. Like, Olive Garden, it's not a real Italian restaurant. But I'll tell you what, I still feel like I'm family when I walk in there. I still love it. Those breadsticks, I would deep throat those fucking breadsticks. So just because something isn't authentic, you know, what it says it is, even if it's like a cutting corners route to the finished product, that doesn't mean it's bad necessarily. So just keep that in mind, Michaela, with your hate on Reese's. So number one is Reese's. Number two, I'm going Twix. Twix is another, it's another fall-like candy to me. Like, I don't want to have a Twix during the summer or the springtime. Twix, I would enjoy a Twix in the fall, and then I would enjoy a Twix in the winter, and then summer, and then spring. When I'm thinking of times I want to enjoy a Twix, fall is what comes to mind first, especially on Halloween. So one, Reese's, two, Twix. Three, I'm going Milky Way. Guys, I'm going Milky Way. I'm not going Kit Kat. I don't know what I've said earlier. I blacked out a little bit. Number three is Milky Way for me. My sister always loved Milky Ways growing up. That was her favorite candy. Becky loved Milky Ways. I was always like, eh, Milky Ways, whatever. I grew to love them. They're so delicious. They're fantastic, and I love them. And if Milky Way was a woman, I would hit on it, and I'd be really humble about it. I'd be like, look, you probably don't want to go out with me. You're so fucking sexy, and you probably got guys hitting you up all the time, but I would treat you right, you know, because you're perfect to me. However, they're number three, so I guess they're not that perfect, but you know what I mean, you know what I mean. So Chili's sometime, and then, you know, I said sometimes instead of sometime, so I lost all cool credibility that I had, and I sound like a loser, and Milky Way would probably say no, and I would just have to stick with number four, which is Kit Kat. Kit Kat's, again, one that I didn't really enjoy growing up as a kid. Now I love it. I love me some Kit Kats. Break me off a piece, baby. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. I'm going to put it in my mouth, and I'm going to nosh that shit. And I'm going to love it. Number five is Snickers. Snickers made the top five. Don't you worry. Snickers is there. I love Snickers. Love the nougat. It's delicious. It's good stuff. Number six, I'm going Three Musketeers. I'm hitting all the chocolate bars, baby. I'm hitting all the, it's Halloween, I want some chocolate. Okay? And Three Musketeers is pretty simple. There's not a whole lot going on the inside. It's good stuff. That's number six. Four more spots left. 7, 8, 9, 10. That's how numbers work. So at seven, I'm going Butterfinger. Yeah. May not be too popular with everyone, but I love me a good Butterfinger. I love me a good finger in my butt. You know, I mean, Butterfinger. And the other one, too. Not like all the way up there. I'm not like that hurts, but like, you know, just the tip. Number eight. So Butterfinger was number seven. Number eight. We're going to go Baby Ruth. We're going to go Baby Ruth on this one. Just loaded with nuts. Chocolate and nuts. It's a good dose of chocolate and nuts. And I love it. God, that one was hard. These last three are hard because you want... You know what? I'm taking Baby Ruth off. I'm taking Baby Ruth off. I'm sorry, Baby Ruth. I'm sorry, Baby Ruth. Yeah, because Baby Ruth was another one that growing up, I didn't really like it. And then I grew to like it. And now I'm kind of out of it. Like, I'm going to choose other options that I haven't even mentioned already before I choose a Baby Ruth. So I'm sorry, Baby Ruth, that I misspoke and I got you all excited. It's like when La La Land won Best Picture for like 5 seconds. And then they're like, nope, it's Moonlight. Yeah, sorry, Baby Ruth. Didn't mean to get your hopes up. I still love you. Still love you. You're just not my top 10. You would definitely make my top 15. Don't worry. Seven is Butterfinger. Eight, not Baby Ruth. M&M's. Gotta go M&M's here. M&M's are so good. You just take a handful of them. You shake them around because you see people do that. And you want to fit in. You're like, all right, look at me. I'm shaking around. And then you just throw them back. And it's delicious. I sometimes will let the M&M's sit in the mouth for a while. And I kind of like, that first layer soaks off. And then there's that, it's like a really soft bite. And for whatever reason, I love that. I'm a weirdo. I know. It's cool. You can judge me. You can go fuck yourself, but hey, you can judge me. It's fine. So there's that. Number nine. Oh, man. Two more spots. Wow. Do I leave chocolate? Do I go to something else that isn't chocolate? This is tough, guys. This is a lot of tough. You know what? Credit to those people at Barstool that formulated this top 10 list. This is a lot of tough. And I'm doing it on the spot, too. So give me some credit, baby. Give me some credit with my small little dick. All right, we're going to say number nine. We're going to go Eminem's non-chocolatey cousin, Skittles. We're going to go Skittles, Tasting the Rainbow. All the flavors of Skittles. Like, you go the original solid, absolutely. But then Wild Berry Skittles, Tropical Punch Skittles, Sour Skittles. The new smoothie ones are decent. Come on. Skittles are great. And at number 10, oh, man. You guys aren't going to like this. You're not going to like this. You know what? I may lose this competition. But the other list had Almond Joys on it and Swedish Fish, so I'm not too worried. Number 10. Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, number 10, I'm going Starburst. Might as well. We already broke that chocolate seal, and we went with Skittles. So number 10, we'll do Starburst. Starbursts are great. I love me a good Starburst. Pink is the best, obviously. Yeah, people in this world who think yellow is the best. Hey, whatever makes you happy. Just as long as it's not murder and meth, you know? Because those two go hand in hand, usually. And sometimes it's not even you doing the murdering, you know, if you're on meth. Sometimes it's you getting murdered. So just avoid both of them, I would say, if I were you. That's my lawyerly advice. I am not a lawyer, though. But if you need me to represent you, I will absolutely take that pay. I'm not saying you're going to win the case, but God damn it, I'll do my best. I know terms. Your Honor, objection. Overruled. I don't know. Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. See? Great at this lawyer shit. All right, so that's my top 10 list. Reese's, Twix, Milky Way, Kit Kat, Snickers, Three Musketeers, Butterfinger, M&M's, and then Skittles and Starburst. Yeah, that's what I'm going with. That's what I'm going with. I said it, I meant it, and I'm here to represent it, people. That's my opinion. You can't change it. You might be able to change it. Because we got to talk about Jeepers Creepers and Joe DeRosa's take on Jeepers Creepers and how I feel about it. Honorable mentions, by the way. Obviously, like I said, Baby Ruth is in there. Candy Corn is an honorable mention. Crunch Bars, honorable mention. I guess Swedish Fish is an honorable mention. I just don't quite get it. Now, Mike and Ike's, Now and Later's. Mike and Ike's, Now and Later's. Honorable mentions right there. Smarties, honorable mention. I'll tell you what I won't mention at all. Almond Joys, Good and Plenty's. Those orange circus peanuts, any type of licorice, including Twizzlers. I'm sorry. Twizzlers can take a hike. I'm sorry. But hey, this is America, and I get my opinions, and I could say that Twizzlers aren't that great. So there's that. And by the way, I should clarify, my number one is Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Not the mini ones, like just the flat ones. So Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Reese's Pieces are an honorable mention as well. How about that? Reese's made the list twice. Almost. All right, that's a 19-minute intro. That's solid. We're going to take a break to play the intro music. You enjoy that nice little beat that just gets you in the mood to hear me talk about the most important shit on the planet, like my rankings of Halloween candy and Moose Dick. God, just what's up with me and Moose recently? The Craig episode, I mentioned Moose Cum. Something's wrong with me. I'm going to check that out. I'll be right back. All right, everybody, and we're back. The Halloween Hangover episode 80, motherfucking 5. Now, I know that it's like closer to Thanksgiving than it is Halloween almost. Like it's already November 12th. Crazy. Time is flying. I thought I was going to get this episode out sooner. I apologize that I didn't. As always, life is crazy. Things are crazy. I do my best, but I still hope you enjoy it. I'm still feeling a Halloween hangover. Putting Halloween decorations away, seeing like on sale Halloween decorations in the stores, 40% off, 50% off. Christmas decorations have fucking taken over almost 100%, but there's still that 5% that's like, here's some, you know, little Halloween decorations that didn't sell. You could have it half off. And it's just kind of sad because I go through this phase where it's like, I'm pumped for Halloween. I'm pumped for Halloween. And then come October, Christmas stuff starts coming out. And I see the Christmas stuff, and I really do love Christmas too. Like, it's number two on my list. It has sometimes been interchangeable with Halloween, but I think Halloween is still number one. However, I love Christmas, so I see the Christmas stuff, and then I start getting pumped for Christmas, and I'm like, all right, well, Halloween, let's just get this over with. And then I snap out of that. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Halloween is the best. And then once Halloween is gone, it's like, oh man, I miss it. I miss it, you know? So appreciate Halloween while you still got it. I know Christmas is a fun holiday for most people. For most people. Not everyone likes Christmas. That's okay. Some people have had bad experiences on Christmas. Maybe they're not as close with their families. They didn't have good Christmases growing up. You know, not everyone likes Christmas. It's not this universal, like, love fest for the holidays. But you know, it's easy to get sucked into that spirit. So you're gonna get sucked off by that spirit, am I right? I'm just kidding, dude. I've had no paranormal blowjobs in my day that I know of. Although I guess that's what a wet dream is, right? You wake up, you got cum in your pants, you're like, oh my God. Maybe a ghost did suck me off. Anyway. All right, Halloween Hangover episode. I wanted to go another list. Another ranking list. So we did candy in the first segment, right? Now we are going to go. Sorry, I don't know why I'm talking a little on the funny side. The top 10 scariest horror movies ever. Ever. According to Rotten Tomatoes, of course. That's, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I don't always trust Rotten Tomatoes. They're not 100%, no pun intended. You know, on my, like, agreeable. Sometimes they're, you know, a movie will get a really bad review. Like, Chips with Dax Shepard. I really love that movie. Michael Pena. And they, Rotten Tomatoes did not like it. But it is what it is. Anyway, we're going to go through this list. It's a top 10 list. I was looking up different lists, like Vanity Fair had one. I think Rolling Stone had one. Which I don't get, because Rolling Stone is, like, music. So why are you doing horror movies? Stay in your lane, Rolling Stone. You fucking little jerk, right? Yeah, I told him. Or her. Whatever it is, 2023. Anyway. But those lists were all super long. I didn't want to go too long on this. But this is according to Rotten Tomatoes. Number 10. We're going to go 10 to 1, because that's the way to do it. You don't want to start off with 1. You don't want to do the big reveal first. Or, you know, you lose interest. If you start with 10, then you go, people are like, all right, well, I got to see what number 1 is. If you start with 1, it's like, I don't care about the rest. So I'm starting with 10, and pretty certain you did not need to hear my explanation for why I'm starting with 10. But I did it anyway, because, you know, I'm a good guy, and I care. I care. I want you to have context and get inside my mind and get inside my ass. I'm just kidding. Man, I got to stop with these weird jokes. But I'm not going to. God damn it, I'm not going to. That's just who I am. Accept it. Number 10. It. Chapter 1, 2017. Not the original with Tim Curry as Pennywise. This is the 2017 with Bill Skarsgård. Who, by the way, did an amazing job as Pennywise. There's the debate whether it's Tim Curry or Bill Skarsgård who did better. Personally, I thought Bill Skarsgård's was creepier, but that also may have been due to the special effects that were available in 2017, as opposed to back in the day when the original came out. Tim Curry didn't have as many cool CGI things to work with. It was all practical effects, which, by the way, I love practical effects too, but they were able to do a lot of cool things with Bill Skarsgård, so it looked super creepy. So here's what it says about It 2017. The fear of clowns is a very real thing, even if it's become so commonplace to announce it that it feels disingenuous. If you needed any further evidence, we direct you to the box office hall of 2017's It. Now, I'm wondering by that sentence if they're going based off the numbers. That'd be a really stupid thing. There was another list that went based off, like, they measure people's heart rates watching movies. I think Sinister was number one. That's the way to do it. I should have found that list. What am I doing? I'm giving Rotten Tomatoes limelight like they need it. I need it. Anyway, 2017's It. Based on the Stephen King novel of the same name, which went on to beat The Exorcist's 44-year record as the highest grossing horror film ever. Oh, and of course, it's 10th place finish on this list. Like, that's some fucking achievement. Stop sucking your own dick, Rotten Tomatoes. Now I'm mad that I'm doing this list and not the science list. Whatever. Andy Muschietti's big budget adaptation drew on nostalgia to tell a story of children scarred by trauma, while Bill Skarsgård's take on Pennywise, the evil shapeshifting clown, was bizarre and unsettling in all the right ways. That is true. Add a healthy dose of jump scares, a handful of impressive set pieces, and some top-notch CGI, I told you, and you've got a recipe for a horror film that's both fun and full of scares. Goddamn right, fun and full of scares, that's like getting in a relationship with me. Number nine, you could ask. Number nine on the list, 2010's Insidious. Happy that this one's on the list. My man James Wan directed this. He's on this list twice. You'll see what he's on later. He also worked with Patrick Wilson on this one, too. That's a little hint for what he's on later, in case you didn't pick that up. They worked on this supernatural thriller about a young boy who falls into a coma. Don't know why I said it like that. I kind of said it like Kobe. I feel like that's a little insensitive. Coma, and begins to channel a malevolent spirit. I almost said male violent. I'm not that smart. That's the word. The bare bones of the story weren't the most groundbreaking, but frequent Wan collaborator Lee Whannell infused it with compelling enough mythology that it spawned four more installments. The last one actually came out this summer, Insidious the Red Door. It was all right. It wasn't the best thing ever. It had its moments, so I'll take it. Solid spooky flick, you know what I mean? Wan also stated that Insidious was meant to be something of a corrective to the outright violence of Saw, which compelled him to craft something on a more spiritual level. And the end result is the effective chiller, featuring what is frequently regarded as one of the best jump scares ever put on screen. Ever put on screen. That's huge. And of course, they're talking about when they're all at the dining room table, talking about some old, you know, childhood trauma, and then the crackhead Darth Maul looking demon pops up behind Patrick Wilson, and everyone loses their minds. I will say, Insidious is good. Creepy old lady, great score, those like high-pitched violins are well-placed and very chilling, and Tiptoe Through the Tulips as well. I mean, that song blew up after the movie came out, and it's like Tiny Tim getting his flowers even though he's dead. Very dead. Don't know why I said very dead right there. That also seemed insensitive. I'm going to keep going. Sinister from 2012 with my man Ethan Hawke. Training Day and other movies. For those who didn't read the scientific study mentioned at the top. Oh. We finally come to the film It Crowned the Scariest. So they even mentioned that scientific list that I was talking about. So even Rotten Tomatoes knows. Actually, they put scientific study in quotes, so maybe they're bashing it. Cocky move, Rotten Tomatoes. I hate you, Rotten Tomatoes. But I'm going to keep reading your list because I'm already on number eight. Before he joined the MCU with 2016's Doctor Strange. Sorry. Director Scott Derrickson had racked up a few horror films, a couple of which earned cult followings. One of them was this small-scale haunted house/possession story about a true crime writer, Ethan Hawke. who moves his wife and kids into a house where a family was murdered. That's good. That's always a good move right there. You know, you want at least one murder in the house you're moving into. Otherwise, you can't have a horror movie. So good job. Good move right there. I would, you know, I wouldn't recommend it if you don't want to be haunted. But Ethan Hawke apparently wanted to. Only to discover the new place might already have a rather evil tenant. They, of course, are talking about Bagul. But maybe they're talking about mice. Maybe there was a subplot. Maybe they had a mouse problem. I've been on that boat before. Trust me. I know how you feel, Ethan. Writer C. Robert Cargill was reportedly inspired to pen the script based on a nightmare he had after watching The Ring. And the story does share a minor similarity with that film, what with the creepy snuff film angle. But for many who saw it, the dramatic reveals and creepy set pieces far outweighed any recycled genre tropes that might have been present. Plus, there's at least one report out there that says it's the scariest movie ever made, so that has to count for something. All right, good job. You kind of redeemed yourself, giving that list the credit it deserves. I was a fan of Sinister. I still am a fan of Sinister. It's not like I was and I'm not anymore. I still am. I remember seeing it in theaters with my buddy Paul. We both were freaked out by it. The snuff films were super disturbing. The lawnmower, putting them in the pools, the burning car, the hanging, all that stuff. Not to spoil it, but I just spoiled every one. Anyway, solid. Solid number 8 is, even if it's not number 1, like the scientific study list, being on any top 10 list, considering all the fucking horror movies ever made, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's nothing to, what is the phrase? Turn your cheek at or clap your cheeks at? I don't know. Number seven. Halloween from 1978. The original, the OG from 78. Coming in at the 7th spot on our list is the film that introduced the world to the all-time scream queen Jamie Lee Curtis and put John Carpenter on the map. John Carpenter, one of the goats. Absolutely one of the goats. You got, obviously, Halloween. You got The Thing. You got Escape from L.A. or New York or one of the big cities. I don't know. You got Christine. You got The Fog. You got Assault on Precinct 13. Like, the guy's got some solid movies. And that's putting it lightly. That might be insulting if he hears this. So if he does hear this, I apologize if that did sound insulting. I swear I didn't mean it. John Carpenter, you're one of the greatest horror directors of all time, if not the greatest. Let me get your cock out of your mouth and, nervous. It's not like he's going to listen to this. Okay. Thinking out loud here. Halloween is frequently cited as one of the earliest examples of the slasher genre as we know it today. And while it may not feature the same kind of realistic gore we've come to expect of films in that category, it packs a lot of tension and some inventive thrills in a relatively small-scale package. That's true. The budget for this film was not that much. The profit for it was a lot. So that's super cool that they were able to do that. I like when a film can do that, like Blair Witch Project, Paranormal Activity. That's always a cool story. Yeah, it's crazy, the budget for arguably the greatest horror film ever made. It's a lot of people's favorites. It's a lot of people's Halloween favorite, of course, and then horror in general, sometimes just their favorite movie in general. I love it. It's nostalgic for me. It's a comfort film. The score, the feel of it, the way the audio comes off, it's that 78, kind of fuzzy, not like crystal clear, but like, it's just, it's a comfort horror film. It's a comfort horror film, so... The film's legacy is also fairly untouchable. Michael Myers' mask has become the stuff of legend, and the giant unstoppable killer and the final girl have become ingrained in the horror lexicon. There's a reason the franchise is still going after more than 40 years. That is impressive. That is impressive. Halloween Ends came out last year. I don't think Halloween is ending, as the title would lead you to believe. I think there's still more where that came from, but we'll see. I think they should wait until 2028, and that way it could be like 50-year anniversary of Michael Myers, and then they just have a new movie where, you know, he's killing teenagers. Fun stuff. Do love me some Halloween. Do love me some Halloween. Number 6 is The Ring from 2002. A lot of people's favorite horror movie of all time. A lot of people's scariest horror movie of all time. It's always a tricky proposition to take something that works well for one culture and try to translate that formula successfully for another. Like healthcare, right? Free health. No, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just, you know, trying to be controversial. Trying to stir the pot. But Gore Verbinski managed that with The Ring. Gore Verbinski directed The Ring and Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. Man, what a guy. What a good guy. A remake of Japanese director Hideo Nakata's, why did I say it like that? That's racist. Acclaimed thriller about a cursed videotape, Verbinski's take, kept the original film's striking visual imagery. The ghost of a young girl in a white dress with long black hair covering her face. For a lot of people, that's their number one fear. Some people, it's clowns, it's spiders, it's the dark. It's, you know, Rosie O'Donnell. Some people, it's the young girl in the white dress with the black hair. And found that it scared the hell out of audiences no matter where they're from. Now, I like that they added that sentence. Because to me, that says that horror is universal. Horror translates no matter what language the movie is in. Jump scares, creepy visuals. Doesn't matter if you speak English, Spanish, Japanese, Chinese, German, Polish, Irish. Well, Irish, whatever. Swahili. I'm just going to keep naming languages. French, Italian, Egyptian. You get what I'm saying? That's scary no matter what. And I love that about horror. I love that about horror. Comedy can maybe do it if it's slapstick, but a lot of the comedy nowadays is not slapstick. It's all dialogue, so anyway, horror still has that though. While the film wasn't as well regarded as its predecessor, it features a committed performance from a then up and coming Naomi Watts, turned down for Watts, and for many, it served as an introduction to East Asian horror cinema. So yeah, that and The Grudge were big ones that had American-made versions, but then people found out about the original versions from overseas and found out those were better, so they got their shine, if you will. Their shining. Foreshadowing right there. Number 5, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1974. The original Texas Chainsaw Massacre as well. While the top 4 movies on this list collectively garnered 42% of the total votes counted, they were followed by 6 films that all earned around 3% of the vote each. In other words, these last 6 films were separated by no more than 60 votes. The first of them is the low-budget slasher directed and co-written by Tobe Hooper. It's probably disrespectful that I don't know his name, as he is another legend in the genre of horror, but you know what? What can I say? I'm a disrespectful guy. Suck my nuts. Kiss my ass. Am I right? Very disrespectful. Very loosely inspired by the crimes of Ed Gein. Texas Chainsaw's grimy aesthetic helped lend it an air of authenticity, which made it all the more frightening. This could actually happen, you guys. That is spooky. When I see a horror movie and there's a sense of realism to it, that it's like, oh my God, I could see this happening to me. This is terrifying. It does add on the spooky factor, the spooky ladder, whatever you want to call it. It makes it spookier. You know what I'm trying to say. I'm tired. And the massive menacing presence of Gunnar Hansen's, awesome name, Leatherface, paved the way for other brutes like Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees. Multiple attempts have been made to breathe new life into the franchise, but none of it equaled the original in sheer, over-the-top, power tool-inspired terror. Power tool-inspired terror. That's awesome. Yeah, they've had a lot of Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboots, sequels, whatnot. The original sequel almost got treated as a comedy. They recreated the Breakfast Club like poster. That's how they advertised it for a lot. And people were like, what? This is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. First one is terrifying. What's going on? Obviously, there was the remake with Jessica Biel. I loved that one. And this may be blasphemous in the horror community, but I think I actually like it better than the original. I can't explain why. The original, it's great. It's one of the greats. Some people have it as their greatest of all time. It takes place on August 18th. That's my birthday. That's a special day. 2 special things happened on that day. I was born, and a lot of teens got murdered in Texas. So I like that. The feel of the original is, it is very dirty. Like, you want to take a shower after you watch it. You feel filthy. You do kind of feel like you're there. But I just think that remake with the Beale remake is so... That's my favorite Leatherface. I will say that. As cool as the end scene of the original when he's swinging it around on the road, swinging the chainsaw around on the road, that's amazing. That's an amazing scene. I just think that remake... That Leatherface he's huge, and it's terrifying. And the original's scary too, like that, you know. I'm not, again, no disrespect, but Texas Chainsaw deserves to be on this list. It's one of the greatest of all time. Texas Chainsaw 3D, that should be number one on this list, but we'll see where that goes. Because that has some of the greatest dialogue in horror movie history. Anyway, number four, The Shining from 1980. Literally dozens of Stephen King's novels and stories have been adapted for the big screen, and several of those films are considered classics today, like Carrie, Misery, and Pet Sematary, and It. All right. And that doesn't even account for the non-horror stuff, like Shawshank Redemption and Stand By Me. Stephen King, what a guy. He's written some of the scariest movies of all time, and Stand By Me and Shawshank Redemption. Shawshank Redemption is considered by... a lot of people to be the best movie of all time, the most perfect movie of all time. That's pretty cool. Andy Dufresne. But the mother of all of them is easily Stanley Kubrick's adaptation of The Shining. By the way, I feel like it should be known that Stanley Kubrick and Stephen King didn't actually see eye to eye while Kubrick was making this film, but it turned out great, so let's have it. A marvel of set and production design and a genuinely unnerving take on the traditional haunted house story, The Shining features a host of memorable images and an iconic Jack Nicholson performance. Jack Nicholson's an amazing actor already. Throw him in a horror movie that's this good, and he gives the performance that he does. It's what makes it so special, in my opinion. Obviously, the scares are great, but Nicholson is amazing as Jack Torrance. It's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, horror performance of all time. You know, it's up there with... you know, Robert Englund and Freddy versus Jason. But not quite there. Not quite there. Where were we? The film's relatively few jump scares are still absolutely chilling, but the true power lies in the way it crawls under your skin and makes you experience Jack Torrance's slow descent into madness. That is cool when a film can do that. Like, you're with him on this trip. You see him go from totally normal, good guy, father... you know, he's not perfect, but like he's normal. And then he just starts to lose it more and more as the days go on, as the winter goes on. And winter is coming. And so am I. I'm just kidding. I'm not. I jerked off earlier. Jack Torrance's Slow Descent to Madness. It's rightfully considered one of the greatest horror films ever made, and it ranked fourth in our poll. Number three, The Conjuring 2013. I'm glad that this was number three. On the list. I'm pretty happy about that. It's my favorite horror movie. Oh, man. Maybe ever. I think it's the best horror movie of the last 25 years. Like, since... like, of the 2000s, it's the best horror movie. James Wan has staked out a place among the modern masters of horror directing films like Saw, Dead Silence, Insidious, and this inspired by true events thriller, chiller, whatever, same thing, based on the experiences of real-life paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren. The Warrens, best known for their work on the strange case that inspired the Amityville horror movies, which played a part in The Conjuring 2, were portrayed by Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga. Such a sexy name. Just like Joe Kruger, you know? Who grounded the effective jump scares and freak-out moments with a believable world wariness. I like this film because I think it's a perfect horror movie. It's like a perfect haunted house movie. The performances are great. Patrick Wilson's great. He's, you know, friends with James Wan, so I'm glad that he went with him. I feel like maybe it could have been Patrick Wilson or Pauly Shore, so I'm glad that they went with Patrick Wilson. That was a joke. Whiz in the sorry. The score is great. The writing is great. The set is amazing. The cinematography... the scares are great. There's like a mixture of like jump scares, slow burn scares, genuinely like goosebump scares, and I just love it all. Together, Juan and his co-leads found fresh terror in familiar genre tropes, and the end result is a sprawling cinematic universe that only continues to grow. So, that is true. They just came out with The Nun 2, and there's more stuff on the way. But I love me The Conjuring. Love me some Conjuring. Like I said, might be my favorite horror movie of all time. It's up there. Jeepers Creepers is still up there, but I have to talk about that because you'll see. All right, number two, Hereditary from 2018. Writer-director Ari Aster. Ari Aster? Crazy name. Ari Aster sounds like a gun. Give me the Ari Aster. Right. Made a huge splash with his feature directorial debut, a dark family drama about the nature of grief couched within a supernatural horror film. Toni Collette earned a spot into the pantheon of great Oscar snubs with her slowly ratcheted up to 11 performance as bedeviled mother Annie, but the movie's biggest shock came courtesy of, well, we won't spoil that here. Suffice it. What is wrong with me today? Suffice it to say, Hereditary struck such a nerve with moviegoers that it instantly turned Aster into a director to watch and shot up to second place on our list. Hereditary was great. It was creepy. Slow burn scares, a lot of slow burn scares, but not all. Things you actually have to watch the movie. You have to be into the movie. Really, like, focus on some stuff because there's some things that are almost hidden. And, man, that was a pleasure to watch as a horror fan. If you're not a horror fan, it's not a fucking pleasure to watch. It's really dark and awful. But if you're a horror fan, it's great. It's good stuff. And number one, The Exorcist. 1973's The Exorcist. The remake or sequel or whatever you want to call it just came out recently. But the original came out in 1973. You may not agree that The Exorcist is the scariest movie ever, but it probably also isn't much of a surprise to see it at the top of our list. With a whopping 19% of all the votes cast. William Friedkin's adaptation of the... Why are they using such big words? They know people like me will read it, right? Why would they use such a big word like eponymous? Novel about a demon-possessed child and the attempts to banish said demon became the highest-grossing R-rated horror film ever. And the first to be nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars. Until it took it over. But it still got nominated. It did not get nominated for Best Pictures at the Oscars. Tell you what should have, though. Jason Goes to Hell. Jason Goes to Hell should have been nominated. Just saying. It earned 9 other nominations and took home 2 trophies. 9 other nominations and took home 2 trophies. That's impressive for a horror film. You don't see that these days. You do not. So that right there is a reason alone that it should be up at number one or at least your top three. But outside of its critical and commercial bona fides, the film is well known for the mass hysteria it inspired across the country. From protests over its controversial subject matter to widespread reports of nausea and fainting in the audience, its dramatic pacing and somewhat dated effects may seem quaint compared to some contemporary horror, but there's no denying the power of the film continues to have over those who see it for the first time. You're not wrong. You're not wrong, Rotten Tomatoes. You're not wrong. The Exorcist, saying it's the greatest horror film of all time, I'm not mad at that at all. I'm not mad. Not one bit. So, Exorcist is number one. There you go. That was the Rotten Tomatoes list. And on that note, I have to take a break because I think there's a demon in me and I got to get it out. You know what I mean? A demon, not semen. I mean, a demon. And by the demon, I meant there's like a poo. I have to poo. So I am going to stop talking. I have shared way too much information as I normally do. And we will be back with another segment. The Halloween hangover episode keeps it going. The train keeps it training. Oh, fuck. All right, everybody, and we're back. Episode 85, the Halloween Hangover episode, coming to you in mid-November. No better time than 2 weeks after Halloween to drop a Halloween Hangover episode. But I'll tell you what, that might be a factual statement because I'm still feeling it. I miss Halloween. The Halloween Hangover is real. I do miss it. Driving around the neighborhood, I still see some people have their Halloween decorations up. I know there's a few little things that I have to put away. Still some Halloween decor that's still up around the house, in the basement and whatnot. And, especially, you know, streaming, going past all the, like, continue watching or watch it again. And it's all just horror movies and Halloween stuff, Halloween shorts and specials and episodes that I was watching to get pumped for Halloween, to get in the mood, if you will, because I don't need to get pumped for Halloween. I'm pumped. I love Spooktober. That's my shit. But just to get in the mood, you know what I mean? Just to really feel it. And there's no better time to watch all that stuff than October. But alas, October has passed and we are on to November. We are on to Thanksgiving. We're almost there. I'm really sorry that this episode dropped so late, but what are you going to do? Big shout out to myself, because in the first segment I did the top 10 Halloween candies list and it went 1 to 10. And then in the next section, I did the top 10 scariest horror movies of all time, according to Rotten Tomatoes. And I went 10 to 1, and I went on explaining that it's better to go 10 to 1 than to start at 1, even though I literally started at 1 no more than 20 minutes earlier. So I'm a dumbass, and we're going to keep rolling, because right now it's time for my rapid review. I know you love it. You've been clamoring. You want another rapid review. Joe, what have you been watching lately? What have you seen? Well, I'm about to tell you. All right, we're going to start with me having a cough, apparently. So sick. Just kidding. I'm not actually. That was like a so sick, you know. It was dumb, whatever it was. But first off, we are going to start with The Haunted Mansion, the 2023 version of The Haunted Mansion with Lakeith Stanfield. And who else is in it? Rosario Dawson, Danny DeVito, Owen Wilson, Jared Leto, Jamie Lee Curtis, Tiffany Haddish. It's a great movie. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I don't know why I said loved. I still love it. And I have no shame watching that year round. Because even though there are definitely Halloween elements to it, it's the Haunted Mansion. I don't think it is strictly for Halloween. I loved everything they did in it. I read a lot of bad reviews for it. I looked it up after because I was like, this must have went over well, and it didn't. People were not huge fans. They thought it was a money grab. They thought it was pointless. Like, what movie? All movies are fucking pointless. That was the weirdest review I saw. The one that was like, there's really no point for this movie to be made. Yeah, there's no point for any movie to be made. People make these movies because they want to make these movies. Yeah, some of them are money grabs, so there's the point right there. You want to get money. But also, like, the goal of all movies, like, a goal at least, not the main goal every time, but a goal is to make money, like, to make a profit off your movie. Or at least you want a lot of people to see your movie. And if a lot of people see your movie, you're going to make money off it. So to say that this was pointless, I think, is a dumb argument. I think that's a dumb argument for any movie. If you're going to give it a bad review and you're just going to say, oh, this movie was pointless. And maybe I'm just mad because I liked it. So I'm fighting back. Maybe if I didn't like it, I'd be like, you know what? You're right. It was pointless. But I enjoyed it. I honestly thought this was, it's crazy to say, but I thought this was Lakeith Stanfield's best performance. Which is crazy because he's, you know, done Atlanta and just a bunch of other like dramas and more serious movies. And this is kind of like a fun, spooky Disney movie, but I just absolutely loved it. He does so good in it. And Owen Wilson is hilarious in it. Danny DeVito is this crazy old man who's kind of funny. It'd be more funny if he was, you know, obviously able to like curse and stuff like Frank. He had to reel it back. There was a part when him and Lakeith Stanfield were going back, and Lakeith was like, do not come. And Danny DeVito was like, I want to come. And I thought that was funny because I'm sure in the back of Danny DeVito's mind, he was like thinking of Always Sunny just because of all the cum talk. You know, it's a dirty, dirty show. And I love it so much. But it's a lot of fun. And it's semi-spooky. It's semi-spooky. It's a nice spooky feel. And don't get me wrong, I wasn't like not able to sleep after watching it. I'm fine. I'm okay. You don't have to check in. But it definitely had a great spooky ambiance, which I absolutely loved. And the main villain is the Hatbox Ghost. And they do a really good job on him. The voice is perfectly eerie and creepy. And the score is great. They do kind of like a rendition of the Haunted Mansion, Grim Grinning Ghosts, song. And it's just fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a fun Halloween movie, and it's definitely going to be on my list for years to come. Absolutely. And again, not just on Halloween. Like, I might watch this this month or next month or January or February or March or, you know, the rest of the months. That's how the year works. So there's all that. And yeah, loved Haunted Mansion. Next up, The Exorcist Believer. Finally saw it. Was able to get to the movie theater one night, so saw it on the big screen. Probably could have waited till streaming. But that being said, I thought the performances were great. The two girls did a great job. They're very creepy. So that was fun to watch. You want that in a possession movie. The person getting possessed has to really sell it, and I think they sold it really well. And, actually, it wasn't just the girl. Like, the performances were solid all around. It was just, I think, if you're going to call it a sequel to the original really made a splash because it was so controversial. Don't get me wrong, it was creepy and it was scary, but, you know, you bring in the whole God and the devil thing, and then, you know, you got her fucking herself with the crucifix and all the, you know, the dirty talk and all that, like as the demon. They do that in like Evil Dead as well. And it's just really like a film that sticks with you because it's like, whoa, this is intense stuff. And to be honest, The Exorcist Believers, they really didn't do anything that set it apart. I think that's a big thing too. That the original Exorcist was really set apart from a lot of the old horror movies because it went to places that those horror movies didn't go back then. And this one just felt like they were kind of playing it safe. To me, they did like little flashes of the quote unquote devil, just like they did in the original. And it was creepy, but it just didn't feel the same. It did not feel the same. And I guess that's good that it didn't feel the same, because it's also like, what, you know, there's only so much you can do when you're doing new ideas are hard to come by. So much stuff has been done. So I guess a lot of the big thing is the performances, and the performances were great. And I think there was only one scene with the tubular bells playing, and so I wanted more of that, and I didn't get it. It is what it is. You know, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. I think Gandhi said that, or maybe it was Mick Jagger, or Luther Allison. Luther Allison actually has, I think, the better version of "You Can't Always Get What You Want" over the Rolling Stones, which some people might call that blasphemous, but, some people suck dick. I'm just kidding. You're great. Anyway, so The Exorcist Believer, after seeing it, I understand why it didn't want to go against Taylor Swift on October 13th. I had a whole bit about that a few episodes ago. And now after seeing it, I get it. It probably didn't believe, no pun intended, in itself to go against Taylor Swift. And rightly so. It was an average horror movie, one that I will probably watch again just to see if I missed anything. Get, you know, maybe kind of pause it when it does the little flash of the devil, and just to rewatch those performances again. And ultimately it is like it's a parent thing. Like it goes through a lot of the parent struggles in it, because the demon or the devil or whatever it is possessed both girls. And it ultimately comes down to the parents having to make an extremely difficult choice. And one that, so I watched that as a parent and I was like, I don't know what I would do right there. So that got me thinking. That was a bit unnerving, but, yeah. So I'm going to say average. It's not bad. I don't think it was bad. A lot of people said it was bad. I don't think it was bad, but, definitely average to slightly above average. We'll say that. I'll be a little generous with it. Next up on the list, Pet Sematary Bloodlines. You got Henry Thomas in this one. He's a big, you know, he's in all the Mike Flanagan stuff on Netflix. You got David Duchovny, my old man, Davy Duchovs, Hank Moody, and, you know, his X-Files stint and the hand model from Derek Zoolander. I don't know why I said Derek Zoolander. The movie's just called Zoolander. I said his full name. So I love me some Davy Duchovs. The other performances are pretty solid. I thought it was a good movie. Again, this is one that I looked up. It got a lot of bad reviews, and I didn't quite understand why. I thought it was a solid movie. Obviously, there are questionable decisions in every horror movie. There's a lot of, like, oh, why would you do that? I want to do that. But this one, I thought, was pretty good. Made good choices. There was a good amount of, like, gross-out scenes in there, so that's always fun. Like, Pet Sematary is one of those movies that's really, it's almost like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and then it's really dirty, and, like, not like, yeah, come for me, daddy, not like that dirty, but, like smack my ass, like, not like that. Stick a finger in it. But more so, like, it just gives you this, like, gross feeling. You know, you want to take a shower after it because you just feel dirty. And it's like half the movie is you follow around these alive, undead, let's just go undead. I don't know why I said alive, undead, these undead people who are just, they look filthy, and then they do the gross out stuff. And there's like a really gross scene with one of the girls' like feet in this one. And you'll see what I'm talking about. So they did a good job with that and making me feel, it's like a little unsettling feeling going on. So, I didn't mind it at all. I thought it was solid. It's a solid horror movie. It didn't seem like a Halloween horror. I know it came out in October, but it seemed more like a summer horror movie, if I'm being honest. But, definitely one that I would watch again, and, probably will eventually, as long as it stays on Paramount Plus. Although Paramount Plus did cancel the Workaholics movie, so I'm a little mad at them for that. But Pet Sematary Bloodlines, solid movie. The ending is kind of a little like, what the fuck? This is how it's ending? All right, I guess. And like the climax of the movie, like the final battle, quote unquote, is a little far-fetched, but. You know, other than that, it's solid scares throughout it, gross out scenes, and just that overall dirty feeling that you don't like feeling, but if a movie makes you feel it, it's like, that's a solid horror flick, in my opinion. You get that with like the Rob Zombie movies a lot of the time. So yeah, there's that. Let's move on to some TV shows now. Some TV shows going on. Now, we talked about Goosebumps with Michaela. But I just want to continue saying that I love it. I love the new Goosebumps series. I hope they bring it back next year. The writer's strike is over, so they should be able to pop it out. You know what I mean? And I love the new Goosebumps series. I'm a big fan. I think they're playing it perfectly. They're not strictly like it's a continuous story, but they're throwing in elements from different books, which is really cool. Justin Long is great. Rob Hubel, I love him. Yeah, the performances are good. The kids are all great in it. It's really all around just a solid watch and definitely worth your time. If you're not only a fan of Goosebumps, but a fan of all things spooky, then this show is definitely for you. Speaking of spooky shows, let's move on to Chucky. Chucky is back with season 3. Now, I am so glad that Peacock decided to stream Chucky season 3. They also brought on season 2. So there was a while where all they had was season 1. Season 2 was already out on DVD. I ended up having to buy it on DVD. Apparently I should have just waited because Peacock added Chucky season 2. And then they've been doing the new episodes of season 3. And I love it as much as ever. It truly is just a wacky, bizarre show. Some over-the-top violence. Kenan Thompson is on it. He does a cameo. He gets brutally fucked up, not drunk, like murdered, obviously. that's a fun scene right there. Still got Brad Dourif doing the voice, and I'll tell you what though, I'm almost at a point where I'm rooting for Chucky. I don't like the three main kids in it. I just don't. I just think they're performing. I don't think they're. Oh, I feel bad because, you know, they're kids. They're younger than me. But I just don't like their performances in it. The main kid, Jake, I think I'm pretty sure his name's Jake. Don't like his face. He makes really these faces that I just don't like. I watch him like, oh, shut up. Yeah. The lines that they give the girl to deliver, I can't remember her name right now. Chelsea, maybe. They don't give her good lines. So she does the best she can, but it's like some of the writing there is pretty bad. But ultimately, Chucky is a very fun horror show and got some creative kills in it. Got some fun stuff going on. And of course, this one, he's in the White House. So it's just totally off the fucking rails now. Like it went from just being regular, like found this Chucky doll at a yard sale. And then it started, you know, killing all his friends and family. And there was that. And then the second one goes to like this Catholic school. And now they're in the White House. So they've just been upping the bar every season. And it's pretty insane. And I still enjoy it, though. I still enjoy it. Apparently, Jennifer Tilly, by the way, still hot. Jennifer Tilly, still hot. And Devon Sawa, again, is in season three. He's died in the first two seasons. So he's died multiple times, by the way. So he's been in two seasons as three different characters, all three of which have been killed. And now he's in season three playing the president of the United States. And I'll tell you what, guys, I don't think he's going to make it. Based off history, if history repeats itself, then Devon Sawa only has so much time. But they're doing it in two parts. So they did the first four episodes, and apparently that was part one. Apparently part two comes out in January, which is pretty lame. But that may have something to do with the writer's strike. So we'll see what happens there. Because I've been waiting for a new episode, and then eventually someone at work was like, they're a fan of the show as well. And they're like, yeah, I guess part one was only four episodes. To which I said, what the fuck? You're fired. And they're like, you can't fire me, dude. We're getting paid the same amount. I actually might make a little more than you. I've been here longer. And to which I said, well, I'm going to say that you touched me and I'm going to get you fired. So I didn't do that, by the way. Didn't do that, but they ended up getting fired anyway. I'm kidding. Anyway, here's a couple little honorable mentions, by the way, that I'm going to throw in. By the way, I did not see the new Saw. I still have not seen Saw. That was incredibly difficult to say, and I don't think it should have been, but it was. Yeah, it's I don't know. I got to the theaters for The Exorcist. I was barely able to squeeze that in. I was luckily able to find someone to watch Finn and, you know, just go there, see the movie, come back. Thank you. Got it from here. He was sleeping the whole time. I saw a late show, so he had already fallen asleep. So they just had to come by and literally just watch TV. And I was like, you're the best. Thank you so much. So I don't know. I just had a lot of faith in that movie. And then, I'll be honest, I was let down. So a couple little shorts Finn and I watched on Disney Plus. We watched Mickey's Wonderful Autumn Adventure or something like that. And that was a lot of fun. Definitely, you know, a lot of fall vibes going on that. It's called His Wonderful Autumn Adventure. I apologize. Finn loved that. He was laughing the whole time. So Finn laughing, I think, made me enjoy it more. And it's definitely something nice to put on around September, October, November. And if he enjoys it, then yeah, definitely going to put it on. And then, the other one we watched was like Mickey Mouse's Night of Witches Fright or something like that. I don't know. It's a new special that got released. It's claymation. And Finn liked that one as well. I liked that one. I thought that was a perfect Halloween Disney special. You got Mickey, Goofy, Donald, Daisy, and Minnie. And no Pluto. They left Pluto at home because you can't take your dog trick-or-treating. So they left him at home all by his lonesome. Probably had a nice costume picked out. And they were like, nope, you're not coming. I don't know. I don't know what happens at Disney. Maybe they've written off Pluto, and I really, just like America did with the solar system stuff. But I really hope they didn't, because Pluto was one of my favorites, if not my favorite. I think it was Donald, then Pluto, then Goofy, then Mickey, then Daisy, then Minnie. Minnie's just so like, oh, I guess you gotta do that. I just, the voice, it's Mickey's, but it's higher, which makes it worse. But that Halloween special that they released was great. A lot of fun songs in it. The visuals are great, and it's just another great Disney Halloween thing that got added to the mix that has now become a tradition for the Finster and I. We're going to watch it every year until he gets too cool, until he's like, I'm actually going to go hang out in my room and make TikToks or whatever is big by the time he's older. That'll be a sad day. So I'm going to appreciate the time I have now. Speaking of that, he's waking up, so I got to get to him. Thank you all for tuning into this little segment. I got one more. We're going to wrap it up like that, and then we'll be out of here. We'll be out of here, and then we got our next episode with he's a multifaceted tool when it comes to entertainment. Is Spencer Harrison Levine. He's an actor, producer. He writes all sorts of stuff, and we're going to talk with him on the next episode, episode 86. So short break. Short wrap up, mummy style, since it is the Halloween hangover episode still. And then we'll call it a day, folks. We'll call it a spooky day. That wasn't creative or any, I just threw in the word spooky. Hoping for the best. All right. Be back in a minute. All right, people, and we're back. Episode 85, Feel Good Friday, the Halloween hangover episode. And, well, it's about that time, boils and ghouls. Halloween is coming to a close, officially. Disney Plus has buried the Halloween collection, and they are really pushing the holidays this year. New movies, new shows, new specials, everything. The Halloween collection, it's almost like it ceased to exist. The Halloween decorations are coming down, and so are all the leaves. The trees are starting to look dead and depressed. And if they're not depressed, well, I am for them. Because it's a sign. It's a full-fledged sign that winter is coming. Gloomy days are ahead of us. The sunny days of October, where the weather is 60s and beautiful, I don't think we're going to be getting that anymore. Thanksgiving is about 2 weeks away. And once that's over, well, here comes winter. It's been a good one. Lots of new movies. Movies that I still haven't seen, that I have to see. But a lot of ones that I have. Specials, shows, new decorations. Finn dressed up as Mike Wazowski, and it was the cutest fucking thing you've ever seen in your life. Although we only went about a block down. Because it was snowing. It was snowing on Halloween. It hasn't snowed any other day ever. Like around this time. It's been fine. It's been like 50s and 60s. On Halloween, the one day where Finn, you know, can go out and get candy, it snows. And he took a late nap, so we didn't have that much time. So things were just against us, but I think we'll do better next year. However, this year was pretty great. So far he's been the Marshmallow Man. Well, he's been a shark. He's been the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, and he's been Mike Wazowski. And I don't think I can think of a more, like, adorable big three right there. I really don't think I can. I think he is absolutely killing it in the Halloween game so far. To have a costume for the first 3 years of your life, like, you haven't missed one. Unless he gets too cool for it, he's going to love Halloween. Because we love Halloween. So anyway, it's been fun, guys. It's been fun. It's been a fun, spooky season. But alas, the holiday season, it's on its way. 93.9 has already started playing their holiday music. Christmas stuff is out full-fledged at the grocery stores and the other stores and whatnot. And I've said full-fledged twice on this outro, and it's only been 3 minutes. So I apologize for my repetitiveness, but it's full-fledged. I guess technically that's four times. Depression thoughts right here. All right, people. I'm going to let you go, but we'll be back for another episode real soon with episode 86. Because that's how numbers work. If this was 85, 86 comes after. Special guest, Spencer Harrison Levine. Yeah. It's a sad day in the life of a horror head, spooky season fanatic, spooky season connoisseur. But it'll be all right. Because it'll be right back around next year. I wanted to say something more creative there, but I couldn't fucking think of anything. So I'm just going to sign off. Thank you all for listening to this episode. Sorry it took so long to come out. Like I said, life has been crazy. And I'm doing my best here. I really am doing my best. I know you guys are clamoring for content. And that's the second time I've said clamoring in this episode. I don't think I've ever said that before. So there we go. Full-fledged and clamoring. Exciting stuff. All right. Stay spooky, everybody. Long live Halloween. I had mozzarella sticks earlier. I think there's some breading in my throat. It's lodged in there. It's full-fledged in there. Fuck.